The following program is brought to you in living color.
Where is the poison? The battle of wits has begun.
A clever man would put the poison into his own goblet because he would know that only a great fool would reach for what he was given. I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me. Let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
The last chunk will suck the will right out ya. Hold on, Lord, I can't do without ya. Seems like a lot of gray in the world. Women, wine, a song. Women, wine, a song. We'll make it all move along to a lovely beat.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape. And now, here's your vintage host, Laura Lawson.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine and were afraid to ask. That's what we are here for. We are your media resource for everything about our, if you can believe it, surprisingly starting to begin to commence to think about the harvest little grape.
How soon?
Oh, it's going to be another at least 60 days until bud break. Supposedly.
Really? Okay.
Well, at least in certain parts of this country, it will be another 60 days until bud break.
Now, explain to me the concept of bud break. To me, bud break means you stop for a beer, you know, taking a bud break here. So what is bud break?
All right. So the concept of bud break is, I mean, this doesn't matter whether it's grapes, trees, flowers. It's just when you start seeing the little green leaves come out.
That's right.
Yes.
You start coming forth.
You see things start to wake up.
Yeah.
Kind of like you today.
Yes.
Yes, I heard you earlier.
It's time for my nap.
Yeah. Well, we wore you out just beating you earlier.
Well,
I spent
a great deal of money a while ago, and it's just gotten decided to buy a new TV.
Did you now?
I did.
You got one of those big curved ones, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I didn't go for the curved ones. And I really don't need a big TV because, you know, from my couch to the actual TV is only about 7 or 8 feet. So how big of a TV do you need? So I went a little smaller this time.
Okay.
Yeah. And no curved screen.
All right. I don't understand.
What do you have in the Lawson household?
Well, see, it's a little bit strange in our household.
Come on, you're drinking wine. You're sitting there watching, you know, Downton Abbey or something with your big glass of wine in your hand. How far away is your TV from you?
My TV's 6-7 feet.
Okay.
But see, here's the thing, is I will be in trouble in one day. In my household, technology has to hide.
Oh, you're one of those people. You want the technology not there when the guests.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the whole house is wired for sound.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly I don't listen to my own voice, but, you know, you can always have music through the house.
Right.
But not only is the technology always hidden in my house behind wardrobe doors, but It's hidden in furniture that was crafted in the 1800s.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
So
we must see pictures on the website.
At some point we might, but I take wardrobes from the 1800s, usually made out of walnut or rosewood, and those are now my audiovisual cabinets.
How about that? See, I just got rid of my long-standing cherry wood cabinets for a long time and went for something simple.
See, that's a good thing. Now, See, also for those of you who are the do-it-yourselfers, and I have to admit I'm a DIY network fanatic.
Oh, okay.
So I do love it. One of the coolest things we did over the holiday season is I had a old, when I say old, we're talking about 1860s, 1870s washstand.
Mm-hmm.
And I had already turned one into a vanity in the bathroom, but this one was particularly large, so we turned it into a wine cabinet.
Ah, and it's how old?
Well, the
goes way back, or
1870, probably 1860, yeah. 1870. So we turned that into a wine cabinet. So everything can be repurposed.
We should do that. Wine furniture sometime.
Oh, we could have a field day with that.
We could do that show.
No, it actually is very, very cool because sitting in my garage, I covered this. I'm embarrassed to admit. I think 2 years ago we brought this up. I had gotten some wine barrels from a winery.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it explicitly because there are chairs. Lounge chairs.
Yes, I've seen these. That's right.
Be made from barrels.
Absolutely.
And I downloaded the instructions, and I've watched somebody do it, and that is on my short list of things to do this summer.
You're going to do this yourself.
I am.
Seriously.
Yes.
Wow.
Come on, I can't just verbally assault people. Yeah. I have to physically be able to assault something, yeah. And it's great to use power tools to do such.
Right.
And it's much safer, and I don't get arrested if I actually use the power tools on wood.
Drill the guest or use a real drill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just not wise.
Yeah.
All right, contrary to popular belief, you are listening to a wine show. We do tend to get off on tangents around here, but that's what makes this show all the more fun. But it's interesting that we started this way, because something that has been on my mind as of late is a sense of place. Look around and try and figure out a sense of place. And my friend Lynn, who wrote in, Lenny, this show is for you, because contrary to what anyone believes, I have gotten two questions simultaneously this week. The first has been about terroir, and the second, this was actually a fairly educated wine person, and we were having, I'll go ahead and call it a conversation about wine. Those that listen from the outside might have called it a knockdown, drag-out battle about wine. But they were posing why exactly, and I use this figure over and over again, 86,000 different labels of wine here in the United States. Why in God's name do we need 5,000 different types of Chardonnay? Wouldn't 500 types of Chardonnay just really cover the gamut? This person had a mathematics background, and they actually started going into the exponential equations of to the first power, to the second power, and the equivalent of, Kent, you can explain it this way, the old, I think it was a Prell commercial. You tell two friends, they tell two friends, they tell four friends, they tell 10 friends,
I
and
remember
then all
that.
Of a sudden, yes.
Not sure it's Prell, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Prell, Suave, I don't remember. But anyway, the whole point is exponentially all of a sudden things are growing, and why do we need 5,000 different types of Chardonnay? 500 should cover it. And you put the two things together when you think of sense of place and you think of why we possibly need 5,000, 10,000 different types of Chardonnay, and it dawned on me. We do focus a lot on labels. We focus a lot on brands. But we don't really ever discuss why wines are created to begin with. We don't get into it. And so the heart and soul of that is a French term called terroir, T-E-R-R-O-I-R. You've heard a lot of us refer to it over the last 10 years. But it really is, here it is. It's legally defined as a set of all environmental factors that affect a crop, qualities when grouped in a specific habitat. Terroir refers to character and the character of the area. And I want you to think about this. And this was the tact I took with my friend. My friend was from New York, and I mean New York City, New York proper. And obviously anyone who has followed me, and it takes a moment to have to rewind or to say, what exactly did she just say without the R in the sentence? I am obviously from the South. So I pose this question like this. Terroir and the making of a wine is more than the sum of its parts. It comes from everything that comes together in that particular place, in that particular year, in that particular vintage to make something special. So think about this. If we discounted terroir and all the different types of Chardonnay that could be made, you could look at various humans. In fact, Kent, I can use you for this. Even though you didn't get raised in New York, you and I were both human. For the most part.
Hold on. Let me check my credentials. Yes.
Check your credentials.
Yes.
I won't even go into the fact. Well, we'll just stick with they're both human. Granted, you and I have a couple different parts here and there.
Chromosomes a little off. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
But ultimately, we're both raised in the South.
Right.
Are you and I alike?
No, we're not.
We're not even close to being alike.
No.
But yet we have fingers. We have toes. Judging from anyone who's looking from the outside in, we're both raised in the South. Ergo, we should be identical.
No, we're not.
Why are we not?
Because no two people in the South, or any place else for that matter, are identical.
So just like
everybody has slightly different traits, characteristics that make them unique.
And where do those traits and characteristics come from?
Well, a lot of it's hereditary.
Your parents, your background, everything.
Yeah. Okay.
No, you said the word hereditary. That's one.
Okay.
So it comes from your genomic makeup.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, correct.
So genetic makeup makes something. Why else are we different?
Upbringing, backgrounds, ages.
All right. So we have
lots of things.
So we are different.
Sexes.
Because we aren't even getting that. We're different because of our genetic makeup, which we get from our parents. So it is inherited. We are different because I think you said, what'd you say? Town, background?
Background.
Background. Let's go ahead and use that as your location, the area you grew up in. So that's from your landscape, so to speak. Why else are we different?
Oh, many things. Our mental makeup, our mental capacities, our emotional makeup.
Okay.
What we have inside.
Well, what we have inside, I'll go with that.
Right.
So obviously, you can look at this and you can break a human down and you can say, even though Kent and I are from genetically the same region of the country, we have nothing in common. Absolutely nothing in common. So let's apply that now to our grape. Our grape, our Chardonnay grape, we're going to stick on Chardonnay today because it was the one that got picked out. Regardless of whether it is grown in Georgia, California, Washington, Oregon, it's still a Chardonnay grape, just like Kent and I are still humans. But the factors such as its genetic makeup, what kind of clone it is, the landscape it was involved in, meaning was it from the mountains, was it from the flats, was it grown in red soil, was it grown in chalk soil, the landscape changes it. And of course, when you look at it, the history changes it. How was it cultivated? Is the vine 1 year old? Is it 3 years old? Is it 100 years old? This all makes a difference. So this is what we're going to get into in today's show. Yes, there's a reason there are 5,000 Chardonnays out there, and 5,000 Chardonnays are going to be different. And it all goes down to that root word that comes from our friends across the pond that makes the difference that they have been experts at for years and actually for centuries and centuries and centuries. And that is terroir. So we are going to investigate why, again, using our lovely little Chardonnay grape, the Chardonnay is different from region to area to culture to winemaker, and kind of explain some terms and tell you, yes, there is merit to having 5,000 different bottles out there, and that's why we're going to encourage you to go find the one that makes you happy. In the meantime, we are going to take a small break. When we get back, I promise, we are going to go into this in depth to the point where you may want to strangle, well, at least Kent, before it's over with.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. That's 800-281-7048.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-542-6751. 1-800-542-6751. 1-800-542-6751.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
that was a joke.
Oh.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
We missed you. Now it's more of the Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
Welcome back to the Crush. I realize we had a bit of a rough open, but it's really hard to communicate this concept. And this is a concept, I think, that as we get in the world of blogospheres, as we get in the role of critics, as we start following people who discuss wine, we forget to look at this very simple baseline that makes all the difference. So we are going to look at terroir today and what all goes into it. So there are a lot of people out there who will have different ideas and who will argue the factors that I am about to bring out that goes into what makes a wine different in its terroir. But ultimately, when you look at it, you have the soil, you have the climate, weather, whatever words you want to use, you have the elevation, the topography of the area. You have the crops that are around it. What else is grown in that region? And this is one that people argue, but I will definitely argue in for. Temperature, longitude, latitude, these all factor in to making their terroir and what makes wine special. So when you're looking at those 5,000 bottles of Chardonnay, each one of them is different because I'll go ahead and use the word over and over again, it was raised differently.
Yeah.
Now, granted, there are some of them, just like there are some humans out there, they weren't raised right, and bless their little hearts, it's fine. But no, as a whole, this is how they're raised. So let's look at it. Number one, in real estate, they say the number one and the most important idea of real estate is location, location, location. Now, location does make all the difference when it comes to growing a grape. Now, you can grow grapes anywhere and everywhere. There are wineries in all 50 states here in the United States. There are wineries in every country, every continent, save Antarctica, in the world. Does it mean they're right? Does it mean they're wrong? No, they just mean they'll grow. But when you're talking about fine wines, when you're talking about wines that we are going to consider for the market, for the critics, for drinking, for our table, let's assume that we are talking about wine to be made for commercial use, okay? Let's go ahead, let's state that for the fact. This is wine that will be made for commercial use. This is not for our friends, our relatives, or things made out of watermelon or cut with Everclear. This is that will be on the shelf. So the first thing we have to look at, obviously, is location. This, in the wine world, can be dictated by longitude and latitude. More so latitude than anything else. There is always a big deal made when you look at latitude lines, whether it's 40 degrees north of the equator, 40 degrees south of the equator. If you actually sat down, and I encourage you, does anyone still have globes?
You know, it's funny. I brought one up online the other day, but I don't have an actual globe.
It's fun, and I hope the generations behind us don't lose the ability to get their hands on a globe, because there's no better way to truly get a feel of latitude than with a globe. If you actually play with the latitude lines, mm-hmm. you will look that Washington State and Bordeaux are on the same latitude.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody believes that. everyone wants to argue that point. They say, oh, Bordeaux, no, that's closer to the equator, and no, Washington, that's up north. No, it's not. It's amazing what the curvature of the globe will do and how much your own self-perceived will do. So it does make a difference. The finest wines in the world tend to be grown along the same latitude lines. That is about your aspect. What that does, this is the scientific reason. When you look at wine that's grown along the 40th parallel, no matter where it is in the world, it gets the same sun aspect. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, yes.
All right, so it doesn't matter whether it's in the United States, whether it's in France, whether it's in China, whether it's in the Soviet Union, it gets the same sun aspect at some point during the day. That's just the natural science and how the globe rotates.
Makes sense to me, yes.
So, and that is something that makes a difference in the terroir as far as sun aspect. How many days of sun? How many hours of sun? This does fulfill. I mean, we're dealing with a crop here. And a crop has to have sun, it has to have water, and in most cases has to have soil to grow. So there you go. The number one important thing when you're looking at terroir is going to be location. So as we have that under our belt, we look around, we find our location. Now, this location along this parallel, obviously I just covered different countries, whether it's the United States, whether it's China, whether it's Russia, whether it's England. They were all made differently. Glaciers cut through some. Volcanoes cut through others. And because of that, what does that mean, Kent?
Soil's different.
Soil is different. So the first thing, we have our location, but second, in that location, there's different soil. There's chalky soils. There's red clay soils. There is ash soils. There's loamy soils. There's sandy soils in that. So that's your next factor when you start looking at terroir. When people take the word terroir literally, it means dirt. That's what it does mean, is truly dirt. So I now have a location. I have a specific type of dirt. This dirt makes differences all the way around. For my would-be gardeners out there, think about it. The last time you put a seed, if you want to have fun with this, put a seed in sand, put a seed in clay, put a seed in black dirt, and put a seed in potting soil. Tell me what happens. Tell me what grows, and tell me how well it grows. This will give you an idea of how our grapes are affected. This will give you an idea why terroir and region is so important. We have location, we have dirt, but it's going to come up as totally separate plants. We're going to take a break right here. When we return, we will dig into our dirt and our concept just a little bit further.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-989-0233. 800-989-0233. 800-989-0233. That's 800-989-0233.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
When I grow up, I want to be a bike that races around the country.
When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be
a...
When I grow up,
I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. My student loan is totally paid off.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I paid more than the minimum each month, and soon enough, it was gone.
So you're just giving up?
Giving up on what?
The life of luxury. Egyptian cotton, caviar Thursdays, designer everything.
What are you talking about?
Our plan. What happened to winning the lottery and mastering the art of the perfect mimosa? Hosting galas, wearing enough jewelry to require a bodyguard, vacationing in the French Riviera, and then buying it.
I just thought maybe it was time to prepare for my future. You know, set some financial goals, make some smart investments, open a 401k.
Financial goals? Investments? A 401k? You are horrifying right now. Listen, if winning the lottery were easy, everyone would do it.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Here we are again. It's The Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we are taking a look at terroir, and we are trying to discover why there is truly a reason for 5,000 different Chardonnays on the shelf. So we have covered two aspects of terroir, and it's ironic I use aspects. I'm going to have puns all the way through this show so we can have fun with it. All right, so we have covered location, which, of course, factors in the latitude. Just to be specific, when you start thinking about this, all right, Bordeaux's latitude essentially is 45 north. Walla Walla's latitude is 46 north. Napa's latitude is, I think it's 39 north. So they're all right there together. So all of it.
Can one point make a drastic difference at all in grapes?
Well, yes. Drastic, no. It's like saying that is there a drastic difference between Salisbury, North Carolina, and Rock Hill, South Carolina. Is there a difference between the two? Mm. Not necessarily so you'd perceive, but is there an actuality difference? Yes, yeah, there is. Sure. Right. So ultimately, we have narrowed down our location. So moving forward, I'm just going to use 45 latitude line. And that'll be interesting because obviously, I want to point this out, it can go north or south. So if you start looking at the northern hemisphere, 45 north, or if you look at the 45 south latitude, that will be our listeners' homework. I'm going to focus on the northern hemisphere for sake of brevity. But if you want to doubt, you want to try me, go look up the 45th south latitude and see all what's on it. That will fascinate you. All right, so we've talked about location. We've discussed soil. So we have our certain aspect. We have different kinds of soils, chalk, loam, clay. All of these make a difference. Let's use this as an example. When we discuss Sauvignon Blancs and we discuss Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand versus Sauvignon Blanc from the Loire Valley. Loire Valley, it's known for its chalky, chalky soil. When you taste those wines, you get a hint of minerality. When you go down to New Zealand, you're not dealing with chalky soils anymore. You're dealing with loam. You're dealing with a lot of great components down there. When you have those, you get the pink grapefruit flavors. They're the same rough, same latitude. They're obviously the same grape, but you get two totally different flavors out of them. The soil matters. All right, so we looked at location. We've looked at soil. Here's something else. Not only as I go along that 45th parallel do I have different types of soil, I have different heights. Think about it. If you look at Washington State and you go along that 45th parallel, mm-hmm. at some point you hit the Cascades. There's a big difference on that 45th parallel between going up the top of a mountain and going on the other side of the desert in the Columbia Valley.
So elevation.
Elevation, your topography makes a difference. And this actually makes a huge difference in things. We all know when you start talking about atmospheric pressure, we all know when you start talking about going higher and you go higher in elevation, the lack of oxygen. But do we really think about what those mountains, that topography, does to something growing on it? Let's use Napa Valley as the perfect example for this. Sun rises in the east. So as the sun is going up over Napa Valley, all of a sudden you're getting the mountain size of Myokamus. They're getting this wonderful, great morning sun. Now, right now, as that sun's going up in Napa Valley, the poor Vacus Mountains, the grapes on the backside of that, where are they?
In the shade.
They're in the shade.
For a long time.
They don't get morning sun. They don't get the benefits of the morning sun. And conversely, as we look at the sun setting, all of a sudden, those poor grapevines that are on the side of the Vacus, they're getting sunburned at night while the ones on the side of the Myokamuses are cooling down. This has a huge impact in how a fruit grows. It has a huge impact in the fruit's sugar. And it has a huge impact in the hardiness of the grapevine. I want to ask all of you out there, particularly some of my southern friends perhaps, would you rather be out at 10 in the morning in July? Or would you rather be out at 2 in the afternoon?
It's not a hard question.
No, it's not a hard
question. For anybody.
So 2 in the afternoon sun is going to be hotter than the 10 in the morning sun. So doesn't this make a difference on our fruit?
Absolutely.
So there you go. All right,
On this show before, grapes get sunburned.
Yes, grapes do get sunburned. Neutrogena
has really
not made a great...
I don't understand that, but it does.
Yes, Neutrogena has not made a great little sunblock. You can just go slather on the little grapes and
Amazing.
They can lay back and get a tan.
Never realized.
Will get burned. So you have location, you have soil, and you have topography. Those three things alone, right there, no winemaker, no human, nobody involved, make a huge difference in how the Chardonnay from Washington State tastes from the Chardonnay in Napa Valley to the Chardonnay in Corneris to the Chardonnay down in Santa Lucia to the Chardonnay grown in Burgundy. All of this changes. Just those three factors. Those three factors alone will allow for 5,000 different wines to be made just like that. Now, we're assuming that those three factors would hold true. I keep using Washington State. It's easy to fall back because most people don't realize Washington State, for the most part, is a desert. It is.
Never knew.
Yeah, Washington State, for the most part, is the desert. As you get to Seattle and they talk about how rainy it is in Seattle, then you go to the Cascade Mountains. The mm-hmm. Cascade Mountains block any water
That's right.
coming across.
I do know that.
So once you get past the Cascades, unless you have that Columbia River, desert. So just in that, let's use that as an example, how weather factors in to this latitude, to this soil, and to this topography. If you took a grape and planted it on the 46th north parallel, on one side in Seattle and the other side in Walla Walla, and use the same soil. You could even put it in a pot for all I care. Put it in a pot. How do you think those two grapevines are going to fare? Are they going to fare identically?
Of course not.
The grape in Seattle is going to get wet a lot. It's not going to have a lot of sun either. Contrary to popular belief, it doesn't rain all the time in Seattle. But definitely, as we went across on the 45th parallel, went to Walla Walla, it's hot. It's sunny, and it doesn't rain much there. So weather factors in to what is going into our grapevine. There is a whole lot of difference of, think about the humidity of Seattle. Think about the dryness of a desert.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that affect a fruit? Whether it has grown up in moisture, whether it actually has to combat heat and searing and sunburn, like you brought up earlier. So obviously your weather factors in. Not to mention, we can get off on total tangents here. When I look at that grape that's grown in that wet environment, I have all kind of different molds. I have different bacteria.
Absolutely.
I have to use different kind of fungicides than I have to use in a grapevine that's grown in someplace totally dry. That affects the taste. That affects the structure. That affects the final flavor of the grape and the wine that's going to come out of it. So there. Now we've accounted for 6,000 different Chardonnays.
Okay.
But, you know, I did bring up something. There was mold and bacteria growing on the wet side of the mountains. And this is where some of my wine friends are going to differ with me. This is where we're going to see some changes all the way around. Because I believe in this, and a number of my winemaker friends believe in this. But we've looked at location. We've looked at soil. We've looked at topography. We've looked at weather. Now, I am going to argue the fact that the crops grown around my little grape make a difference in the final wine. And anyone who wants to argue with me, all I ask you to do is to pull the cork on a bottle of Heights Martha's Vineyard Cabernet. For those of you who are wine geeky, I have stopped your argument right there. All right, when you look at what's growing around a grape, I have advocated this and I'll tell you this over and over again. Number one, the flavors you get in various Cabernets. We're going to use, whether it's Napa, whether it's Sonoma, whether it's out of Bordeaux, the flavors are not added to it. Absolutely not added. It's all by nature. So if you're tasting blackberry, if you're tasting raspberry, if you're tasting raisin, it's not because someone dropped flavoring in. It's just how the wine was crafted. If you are drinking wine that was made around Martha's Vineyard in some areas in Napa Valley, there is a hint of eucalyptus in that wine. Now, there have arguments gone back and forth and back and forth on this, that it's a certain chemical component. I will still argue to this day that somehow eucalyptus oil gets on the grapes and it goes into the wine production. You can't convince me otherwise. Better people
have
tried.
How would you think it gets on the grape?
Have you been around a eucalyptus?
Carried in the...
No, wind. It's very
wind,
oily.
Rain?
It has oil on it. Eucalyptus oil. We've smelled it. We've used it. Don't tell me it doesn't get airborne.
And absolutely.
I wish I could say that we all actually washed our grapes, that they were scrubbed, but they're not. So ultimately, you get those amazing California Cabernets that have that eucalyptus note in them. And don't tell me that's not part of the terroir. Because ultimately, let's go back to that definition. I realize everything we have covered up until this point, location, soil, topography, weather, these are all Mother Nature's. We have chosen to do this. The actual cover crops, the crops around it, do affect the terroir, the characteristics of that particular area. It does. I will argue it forever. But that is part of, think about, like Kent and I were discussing our culture. Think about what you were raised around. Do your friends, do your family, do those that in your subdivision, in your apartment, on your street, did they not foster certain characteristics in you when you were growing up? So don't tell me a grape's neighbors, whatever's planted around it, won't foster into the wine it will become. We're going to take a quick break right here. When we get back, I will add to my lesson an argument on terroir and explain to you why there could be 12,000 Chardonnays and all of them prospectively different.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
If you suffer from heartburn or other digestive-related disorders, then there is a new, safe, better, and natural alternative to better digestive wellness and heartburn relief. Praxid not only provides relief of heartburn, but Praxid takes a 360-degree approach to support better digestion, protect you from harmful bacteria, and also balance your stomach to improve digestive functions.
We like to think of it as the multivitamin of digestive health.
It's the only product to combine all natural ingredients known for the digestive health properties into a single patented product. Praxid also comes in easy-to-carry packs. Praxid relieves, restores, and maintains a healthy digestive system. Praxid is available here for only $39.95. Shipping and handling is free, and your money back is guaranteed.
To take advantage of this special radio offer, call now 1-800-829-5735. That's 1-800-829-5735. Again, 1-800-829-5735.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Call OnCall Pharmacy right now and save as much as $700. 800-884-7919. OnCall Pharmacy delivers the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Call OnCall Pharmacy now and take advantage of this special offer. 800-884-7919. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now. 800-884-7919. 800-884-7919. 800-884-7919.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
We continue with another exciting episode of The Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
Welcome back to The Crush. I hope y'all are still with me and still following, because when we start investigating wine terms and we start discussing a sense of place and truly argue for the fact, which I still can't believe I'm doing, rationally, that there could be 12,000 different Chardonnays and all of them different out there, I want to make sure we're understanding the baseline on it.
Yeah.
It makes sense, because I do understand there's an ocean of juice, there's an ocean of wine sitting on your shelf. And I have to give my friend a bit of credit. I did see their point. They say, 500 Chardonnays can do it. But for the true wine adventurer, for those of you out there who want to close their eyes and take a sip of a Burgundy and to imagine for that moment what it's like to be in that place it was created, that's what makes the difference. Here is what all this goes towards. Before we even get a winemaker involved, before we get the ego, the personality, the style change, what they like, what they want to experiment with, the whole point, let's go 600 years ago, when wines were being created and you were looking at Burgundy, you were looking at Bordeaux, you were looking at Brunello, you were looking in Italy at the different regions. There was a reason the people who were growing grapes decided to experiment, create, and stand by what they were growing in that region, because they had created something in a glass that was beautiful and reflected the area. It reflected the specific town. It reflected the specific region. That ultimately, when you picked up a glass of a Burgundy, and you had been there and you had been at the winery and you had tasted it and fell in love with the area, when you fell in love with the region, when you fell in love with the moment, that the wine encapsulated that moment. That's where this romantic notion came from. And I am all about the romance when it comes to wine. I am. I'm sitting here, I'm scientifically trying to analyze for you why terroir makes a difference and sense of place makes a difference. But anyone who is listening to this show, I think you can relate to what I'm about to say. Whether you have traveled overseas, whether you have traveled 2 miles up to your local winery, when you sat down and you had a brand new wine for the first time, and a brand new wine to you, something you'd never experienced, and you go back and you were having a beautiful, great, amazing day, and you take that wine and you taste it and you thought, today is perfect. Today is great. And you taste that wine and it can bring you back to the place. A lot of that does have to do with our olfactory nerves and our sense of smell being our greatest memory trigger. We aren't going to go into that today. But that is what terroir serves. That's why this word is so hard to define and so hard to put together. Yes, everything and every wine created has its parts. It has its grapes, it has its stems, it has its seeds, it has its wood, it has its concrete, it has whatever has been put into it. But a wine is always more than a sum of all its parts, just like you are. So we have gone over it. When you look at terroir, you have location, you have soil, you have topography, you have your weather, you have your cover crop. So yes, all of this comes together to create a true sense of place, a destination. And then this is where this next aspect comes in. This is where this gets fun. Yes, there could be 500 different Chardonnays in Napa Valley. And I promise you, there are 500 different Chardonnays in Napa Valley. And literally, for those of you who have driven up Highway 29, you have passed winery to winery to winery to winery, that the only difference is a fence line. Sometimes a fence line isn't even there. And the Chardonnay rows stop. The Chardonnay for Laura Lawson Chardonnay stops. And literally 1 foot over, the Chardonnay for Kent Bernhardt Chardonnay starts. So why do I need those two Chardonnays? Because this is when the human element comes into this. And this doesn't really factor into terroir, but it factors into the overall argument of why we have 20,000 Chardonnays around the world. Because what Kent Bernhardt does to his wine grape is an expression of what Kent Bernhardt thinks it should be. What Laura Lawson does to her Chardonnay grape is an expression of what Laura Lawson decides it should be. So regardless of whether I have the same part, same pieces, same culture, same everything, now we advocate personality. And this is where it gets fun. This is where the argument that if you haven't found a Chardonnay you like, it just means you haven't drunk enough of them. Because it does not matter with the terroir. Once a winemaker gets hold of it, they can make the most of the terroir and let the dirt speak, or they can take that magnificent dirt and turn it into a creature to be melded into something miraculous. That's all it comes down to.
How do I, as a grower, how am I incorporating my own personality into my grapes? What am I doing differently than you are in the vineyard right next door to me?
God, Kent, that's a whole nother show. But it does make a difference, and we weren't going to totally go down that road, but we can. All right, so in Kent Bernhardt's vineyard, they're lazy growers over there. Kent's more laid back. Okay, I won't use the word lazy. But he lets whatever grape comes up, come up, whatever clusters out there go. And then, hey, I'm going to let Mother Nature run its course. And if there are 12 clusters on that grapevine, I'm going to use all 12. Now, Laura Lawson's vineyard, she's a little more OCD. She doesn't like that. She wants to make sure that it's managed, that makes sure that everything is perfect. So when you go over to that same grapevine on Laura Lawson's property, the leaves, half of them have been pulled out so that my grapes get more sun. I've also decided that I don't want 12 clusters per grapevine. I only want 6. And in those 6 clusters, oh, that grape doesn't look good. I'm going to pull that grape out. That's how the grower puts their personality on it.
Okay.
That's how they make a difference, by trying to train Mother Nature. And we all know how well training Mother Nature is. Hey, we're going to take a quick break right here. When we return, we will make sure that today's pieces become a greater than sum of its parts.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
An adult elephant can weigh up to 6 tons. The average person, 150 pounds. Ever heard of carfentanil? It's a large wild animal tranquilizer. Illegal drug dealers lace heroin with it. It can kill the average human. If you or a loved one is addicted to opiates, even pain pills, don't wait until it's too late. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. We care. Many of us have been where you are. We'll take you or a loved one away from the drug environment to a place you can clean out safely. Plus, we'll work with your insurance company to make sure you get the treatment you need. And with a Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed by law to get away for help without telling your employer why. Call now to save a life.
800-915-9734. 800-915-9734. That's 800-915-9734.
The IRS is the most feared agency in the world. You've heard ads from other companies offering to help taxpayers only if they owe over $10,000. Here at Platinum Tax Defenders, we're A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, and we're proud to be one of the only tax firms in the country who understands that people who owe less than $10,000 need help just as badly. The IRS doesn't care how much money you owe. They'll still garnish your wages and even seize your assets. So whether you owe just a few thousand dollars or hundreds of thousands, call now for your free tax consultation. If you qualify, we may even be able to reduce your tax debt down to a small fraction of what you owe. So don't wait until the IRS seizes your property and garnishes your wages. Call 800-856-1330 and get your tax problem resolved once and for all. That number again is 800-856-1330. 800-856-1330.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up, impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important, and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Now it's back with more of The Wine Crush with Laura Lawson.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I hope I haven't gone too far off tangent today as far as trying to put together what terroir is and why to try and argue to you, my friend, and to educate you that, yes, it is justified for 5,000 bottles of Chardonnay to be out there. Because ultimately, you find a favorite restaurant, you go back to that favorite restaurant 2, 3, 4 times. Why? Because you expect something different each time. That experience in that restaurant is more than a sum of what you order, who you're with. It is a magical experience that gets put together. Just like you would not have just one friend, you want to collect friends. It is all about the people being different because, again, whether it's their culture, their background, they're all greater than the sum of their parts, just like your Chardonnay is. As always, here on The Crush, reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there's truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.